Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Hopefully you got all your sun time yesterday, right? Oh, I don't know about you, but we were out probably the whole day. Of a little one, Seth, he just like kept going back to his stroller. He just wanted to go for another walk and another walk and another walk. It's just like, gotta be outside, gotta soak up the sun. The snow, I think today, all of it's gone. There's no more snow on my yard. So I just want like summer. It's like, you're welcome here. All right, so for those of you who do not know me, my name is Corey. I'm one of the pastors here. I work on the Connect team and more recently taking the role of online pastor. So a quick shout out to all my friends watching online. So great that you're with us. Sorry, just had to do that. So today I get to talk about relationship, real relationships. We're finishing our series, The Simple Life. So we've started with God. We've talked about time, money, and then this morning we get to talk about relationships. But before we go any further, I'd love to open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word given to us. Your word, the Holy Scriptures, they're true, divine, sufficient. They're everything that we need. And today we look to your word for wisdom, for guidance. Holy Spirit, would you reveal truth to us today? Open ears to hear and hearts to receive your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So relationships defined are simply the state of being connected. We all have connections in our lives, these relationships. Some relationships are more difficult than others. We all have people that we're interacting with on a daily basis. And talking about relationships, I can't help but talk about my family. Now, Pastor James, he's been bragging about his selfie with the flowers over there. You know, although I think, you know, he's gotten a few more likes than my photo, but it probably has to do with the amount of friends he has on Facebook. But that's okay. I think my family could take a pretty good photo, thanks to Russell Moore for this one. So let's, there's my family. Yeah, so it's my son Seth and my wife Christina. And so maybe we can keep the flowers lit after the service, and if you want, just come over here, do a selfie like Pastor James, or maybe let's take photos for each other, and you can get your family photo by the flowers. They're so beautiful, right? They're so awesome, and why not? Do that. Use hashtag FAC online and share your photo with us. So a little bit more about my family, Christine and I. We've been married for 6 years this coming July. Seth, he'll be turning 2 in July as well. And my wife just recently got a job at Rocky View Hospital. So excited for her. It's been a long haul, lots of applying, but we're really excited for her new position as a registered nurse there. I'm incredibly proud of her. She's the best mom and wife a husband can ask for. So, yes, that's my family. Yeah. And we also have had quite the journey with Seth. He's had a few surgeries from the day he was born, all of which we are done. So praise God, no more surgeries. Yes, he's a living miracle. And for the curious medical minds in the crowd, he had tracheoesophageal fistula repair. So it's called a TEF repair the day after he was born. And the surgeons were successful in doing the repair. So he came to the 915. He was running around in Discovery Land. And he's just a testament to God's goodness to me and to my family. And he's a miracle. And I love that I get, like, I tell those people all the time that every day when I see him, every moment that I have with him for the rest of my life, I live with a miracle. And it's just so cool for me to experience that. So that's my family, real relationship. Relationships are hard. They require work. They require commitment. They require time and lots of energy. You know, having children go through the medical system, and I know some of us here have that, it's no easy task. And it can put a huge amount of strain on any relationship. It's real. It's life. And life can throw all sorts of situations and challenges us at us that, you know, they impact our ability to connect with others. I mean, you have your story and I have mine. But I truly believe that God has given us a different, profound way of living, a profound way of connecting with each other. But before we get there, let's look at some of the current realities that we're facing. Now, the fact is, we're all in relationships. We're all in relationships that are constantly evolving and changing and growing. But who among us desire to have healthy relationships? Right? Like, I feel like we all have this desire to have healthy relationships, real relationships, whether it's our families, our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors, just the people around us. And I think we can agree that relationships do require work. You know, some maybe a little bit more than others. But very real is this hunger and this desire for relationship. Relationship with God. You know, so we started our four-week series. It all begins with God. And then this horizontal desire to have healthy relationships with the people around us. The real relationships, whether we're, you know, husbands and wives, sons, daughters, aunts, uncles, grandmas, grandpas, you know, workmates, neighbors, classmates, you know, even the in-laws, which I have wonderful in-laws, Larry and Kimberly, you're awesome. Appreciate you. So we have this desire within us to have real, authentic, healthy relationships, to be heard, to be understood, to be loved. Tom Rainer did a survey of over 1,000 people, and here are some of their comments about relationships, and maybe you'll resonate with some of them. Now, I would love for our family to spend more time together instead of needing to work so much and sending our son to daycare. I would just love for my kids to get along and quit fighting so we could have some peace in the home. I wish we could manage our time so we could spend more weekends together. I don't feel like I know my husband anymore. With our schedules full, we have hardly any time to talk. I wish I just could have one friend to talk to. We are constantly on the go to our children's sporting events and hardly have any quality time together, whether it's for practice, scrimmages, or games of multiple sports. We literally are gone from home almost every night of the week. I need better relationships with my stepchildren. They really resent me. I have lots of people, friends and family around me, but I feel so lonely. You know, we live in a world that's deeply connected, yet why do we have so many issues? Well, relationships are hard, they're messy, they're work, but they're so worth it. And social media and technology, they've offered us some new challenges in connecting with people. Because we're more connected now than we've ever have been, yet we feel more alone and isolated than ever before. You know, recently taking on the role of online pastor, I'm figuring out how to connect with people to find the balance in an online, offline world. And a huge majority of us are trying to navigate those realities as well. How to be online and offline in our relationships. Social media can be a huge challenge, but I think it's a great tool for people and even as us as the church to connect with people. I mean, we've been doing Facebook Live for the past little bit here, and it's been so fun watching people tune in from all around the world. FAC goes beyond these walls. It does. We have a church family all around the world. And it's so fun that we get to connect. I mean, we have Juan from Ecuador. We have Kathy and Lisa from Winnipeg. Casey from Langley. Diana from Columbia. Almeda from St. John's. Julie from Northern Ireland. Dion from Baton Rouge. Shelley from Abu Dhabi. Marianne and Bonnie and Josh. And Florence from Nova Scotia. I mean, and there are many more people who are lurking in the chat. And I love that we're doing this. I love that we're connecting with people all over the place. Even people who have moved away, they still belong to our family. They're family. These are real relationships. And at FAC, we're doing our best to make you feel welcome, whether you're joining us in-house or you're joining us online. You know, we want you to feel and know that you belong to our community. That you are part of the family, to help you connect with God and with each other. And we're normal people here at FAC, just, you know, learning what it means to build lives that honor God, all for Jesus. And technology and social media, they've been a great way for relationships to be established, for people to connect. And I'll agree that we can't stay online forever. There needs to be some movement from online to offline. But online people matter. If you have a phone, if you're connected, guess what? You're an online person. And you matter. Online people are real people. Online relationships actually matter. Not only are we connected through technology, but we're incredibly busy. We're so busy that we can start neglecting the people around us. You know, schedules are full. Maybe you're at a job that's demanding more of your time, extra hours, and you simply can't escape it. The overtime is piling up, but at what cost? But at what cost? Maybe robbing you, your family, of your time. Is it worth it? We get caught up in the busyness of work, even our hobbies, and neglect the people around us. And I love how Rainer says this, that busyness is the slow destroyer of relationships. Busyness is the slow destroyer of relationships. Before we know it, we become more alone, more isolated, and everything seems to start falling apart. And the only thing that's keeping us company is our busyness. Not everyone is busy or full. And yes, I know there's ebbs and flows of life and seasons. But when we're stuck and we feel like there's no way out, friends, that's the problem. That's the problem. And I think most of us, as you raise your hand, are looking to simplify our lives by having these significant and healthy relationships. Most of us want better relationships. And, you know, it begins with our dependence on God and our commitment to move forward, to make action, and to make things better. So let's talk about, what does it mean to improve our relationships? How do we nurture real relationships? Because they are an important aspect of our lives. And guess what? Jesus thought that too, believe it or not. So much so that he actually shared a command with us. So I want to read from Matthew 22:36-40. So Jesus gives us the simple truth to the simple life, all about relationships. So you can follow along on the screens, grab your Bible, FAC Experience app, YouVersion, whatever you do to read. We're going to read from Matthew 22:36-40. Teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So here we have Jesus responding to a question. He's sharing with us the most important commandment. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. Our commitment to love God enables us to love our neighbors, to love the people around us. I mean, if you get nothing else out of this sermon this morning, I want you just to capture that commandment as a great place to start, to learn what it means to love God. Ask him to reveal to you what it means to love people. But what does that practically look like? I want to just talk about that right now. Let's look to the scriptures. Let's look to Jesus, see how he lived, and see what we can find on how do we relate to the people around us. This isn't an exhaustive list of Jesus interacting with everyone, but it's a wonderful place for us to start. When we can learn to love people, we learn to reevaluate our priorities, to make time for the relationships that matter, and to be aware of the people around us, the person sitting next to you. You know, technology can become our friend, time can become our friend, and we learn to love the people that God places on our path. So let's look to the scripture, let's look to Jesus, and see what he does. So we have Jesus is loving. You know, we bring love into our relationships. It all starts with love. Love becomes the focus, the lens in which we see our relationships. Love is the foundation. Often I pray this prayer, Father, give me your eyes to see and your heart to love the people around me. Father, give me your heart to love the people around me. Jesus brings love into every one of his relationships, and love is where we need to start. So what does it what does it mean to love? What does it mean to love one another? We're best then to turn to the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. This is like really popular with the wedding crowds. Okay, Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. This is his first letter to them. And the church was pretty self-centered, and there was conflict all over the place over which spiritual gifts were better. So these are people, they're in conflict, they're selfish. Sounds perfect for a wedding, right? Okay, so we have this scripture, their words for us about relationship, true relationship. And Paul is writing for them to express love to one another. And this is what love looks like. So 1 Corinthians 13, it's a very simple lesson on real relationships. So let's go, I'm going to start in verse 4. So 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. As followers of Jesus, we learn to love people and see each other with the eyes of Jesus. And that's how we have real relationships, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to be patient and kind with one another, not arrogant or rude, even on Facebook or Instagram. Okay? The ongoing challenge. You know, it's a love that never gives up, a love that never loses faith, hopeful and endures through every circumstance that life can throw at it. In John 13, Jesus gives us yet another command. In John 13, 34 through 35. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Love each other, friends. Just as I have loved you, and you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. We are called to love one another just as Jesus loves us. Love is to be our unique identifier as followers of Jesus. People will know us. They will know who we are by our love. We love. He loved because he's first loved us. And God's display of love evokes a response of love from us. Love for God and love for others. As followers of Jesus, love should permeate all that we do. In every relationship, a love that is sacrificial, a love that serves, a love that is selfless. This love command in John 13 comes right after Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He was just showing his disciples and us what it means to have a love that serves. A love that puts others' needs above our own. Can we be those people? Can we be those people? That doesn't mean it's wrong for you to do something for yourself. But as followers of Jesus, we learn when to sacrifice our desires for the people around us. Because people will know us by our love. It's awesome. Maybe you've heard Pastor James say this before, but I think it's worth repeating. We want to be known more for what we're for than what we're against. We celebrate each person as invaluable and irreplaceable in the eyes of God. Like Jesus, we love people when they least expect it and when they least deserve it. Real relationships are marked by love. But not only is Jesus loving, but Jesus is compassionate. We bring compassion into our relationships. Jesus lived with compassion, and so must we. We are to have hearts that are full of compassion for other people. We're concerned for the people around us. And this is an emotional term, and we often hear phrases like, Jesus was moved with compassion. And there's a feeling in our hearts. You know, it's responding to the needs of those around us as best as we can. Jesus used the word for compassion in the parable of the Good Samaritan. It says, then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, this was the man who was beaten and left for dead, he felt compassion for him. Jesus had compassion on two blind men. He touched their eyes and immediately they received their sight. Jesus felt compassion for the widow who lost her only son. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. "Don't cry," he said. And Jesus brought him back to life. In another instance, Jesus with a great crowd before him. You know, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "You know, I have compassion for these people, this great crowd. They have already been with me 3 days and they have nothing to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry or they may collapse on the way." And he feeds them. Another time Jesus got off the boat and he saw a large crowd and he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. What's your compassion meter at? You know, when you meet someone difficult, someone needy, someone outside your circle, are you moved with compassion or are you more inclined to be like irritated that they're even there? Real relationships involve us having compassion with one another. Jesus never looked away from people. He always looked towards them. He had compassion on them. Whenever people were around Jesus, he understood what their real needs were and sought to address them. You know, I don't know about you, but I want to have Jesus' heart of compassion. I don't want to look away from people. I want to look towards them. As hard and as difficult as it might be and uncomfortable, I want to look towards people. To have that heart of compassion, to see the need and fill the need as best as I can. A heart of compassion. Jesus took the time to actually notice people. Notice that people were hurting. And his compassion drove them to help him. Real relationships are marked by compassion. Jesus is humble. We bring humility into our relationships. How many of you would consider yourself a humble person? Come on, we're the honest and humble people in the crowd. Come on, you know, everyone's like, "Yeah, I don't know, I feel like I am, but I don't want to raise my hand, so awkward," right? You know, if we desire to live in God's favor, we are to be humble. James 4:6 says, "God opposes the proud and shows favor to the humble." Paul himself said that he served the Lord with great humility. Yet for some reason, saying that you're humble, it's just like, I don't know what to do, right? Yeah, we want it. I mean, I think we should. It's an important virtue for us to have. You know, when we learn to be humble, we learn to start recognizing God for all that he has for us and our need for him to rely on God, knowing that we don't have it in control. And this plays out into relationships as well. A humble person honors others above themselves. Paul said in Philippians 2:3-4, "Don't be selfish. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Be humble, thinking of others better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too." That's exactly how Jesus lived. And we learn to look out for the interests of others. How many of us are selfish in our relationships, only looking out for our own personal interests? Okay, story of confession now. Okay, so I thought that I was a fairly humble, selfless person. And then I got married. Okay. And then I had a child. Talk about challenge. I mean, I welcomed it, but I'm like, wow, I am really selfish. I'm not as humble as I thought I was in my marriage. But both parties, what if both of us, me and Christina, working together to lift each other up, to serve each other, to look out for the interests of each other, humility in action. What if we can do that in our relationships? Real relationships are marked by humility. Jesus is forgiving. We bring forgiveness into our relationships. As followers of Jesus, because we've been forgiven, we must We must learn to forgive others. Matthew 6 says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Wow. How many of us are holding on to unforgiveness? How many of us need to go to Jesus right now? It's been said, not forgiving someone is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Right? It's ridiculous. It doesn't work. You get nothing out of it. If we don't learn to forgive, we will never truly experience relationships to their full potential. We won't. And here's the hard truth when it comes to our relationships. I think forgiveness can often be the most difficult. It almost seems so easy to hold a grudge and harbor bitterness and resentment, and you just don't want to forgive the people who have harmed us. The people who have hurt us. The people who have betrayed us. They don't deserve it. Have you had that internal dialogue before? You are to forgive just as the Lord forgave you. It's not a request. It's a command. It's a lot to ask, isn't it? The word forgiveness carries this notion, this idea of, you know, undeserved favor. I mean, think about your own walk with Jesus. You know, we don't deserve God's forgiveness, but he has provided it for us. He gives it to us freely. Our debts are paid. Our sin is gone by no effort on our own part. God paid the price for our sin. God's forgiveness is undeserved, yet freely given to all who receive it. Forgiveness is the reason that we have eternal life. And I know relationships can be complicated, but in your heart, you must forgive those who have wronged you. I must forgive those who have wronged me. It's Jesus' command, my friends. So let me ask you this. The one relationship that rises above them all, relationship with Jesus. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Have you experienced the forgiveness that comes from knowing what Jesus did on the cross for our sins? Friends, that when you experience his forgiveness, it absolutely will change every relationship and every interaction you have. Jesus is everything, my friends. And he invites us into relationship with him. And I would encourage you to think, reflect. You know, have I made that decision? And if you haven't experienced complete forgiveness, let this be your morning. Let this be your morning to know that as far as the east is from the west, that's how far your sins are removed. You are washed, you are clean as white as snow. This morning is for you. Because the reality, the cross of Christ is the clearest example of love laid out, of forgiveness in its finest form. Have you experienced his forgiveness, his compassion, his love? We can't truly love others, we can't truly forgive others until we experience it personally. So I just want to take a moment, I just want to pray. If you want to have a relationship with Jesus, if you want to begin that journey, even if you want to come back, let's pray. Let's pray together. And I just want to just take this time, just repeat after me. Let's come before God. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I am trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus. Jesus alone as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me, forgiving me, for having a relationship with me. Amen. I mean, if you prayed that prayer, I just want to say welcome to the family. praying that prayer, being in relationship with Jesus, again, it's the best thing for you to do. So if that is new, if you're new on the journey and you want to talk to someone, please, you know, maybe elbow the friend beside you and say, you know, I want to start a relationship with Jesus, or come talk to one of the pastors. We'd love to do that with you. And if you're joining us online, let one of us know. We want to connect with you. We want to help you in your relationship with Jesus, because it is literally the best thing that you can have. So here we have Jesus, our example. We have Jesus, you know, he was loving, he was compassionate, he was humble, he was forgiving. He's our greatest example of how to relate to others, how to have real relationships. And as we learn to include these qualities, we are becoming more and more like him. Real relationships become healthier when we approach them with the same attitude and mind of Christ. That's what we need to do. We approach our relationships with a selfless attitude. It's really the key in all of this. Like learning to look beyond ourselves. And we stop looking inward and start looking outwards. Start loving on others. Having compassion on others. Lifting each other up. Forgiving each other. That's how our relationships become real. Living as Jesus lived. Now, even if the other person is outright selfish, we need to be responsible for our own actions. Let's be the people to step out, to take that first step. Because it starts with you. And it starts with me. So we've talked about some of the realities, the struggles we're facing, how to nurture and have real relationship. But what's next? What else do we need to set in place? Well, I mean, there really isn't an easy answer. Like I said, relationships are complicated. They're messy. And there's so many variables that I don't think I could actually address them here right now. But we are so here to help. We are so here to help, friends. Ron and Teresa, they're hosting the Relationship Fitness Center table on Main Street. They have a list of suggested readings and studies on Right Now Media. So Right Now Media is a free resource. It's like a Netflix for Bible study material that you can sign up. It's free, and you have access to so much stuff. There's even some awesome kids stuff as well that we like to use. But there's some great resources for you. So they have a list of those on the table. And there's topics like establishing a strong and healthy marriage, spiritual intimacy and devotionals for couples, before you marry, before you remarry, the first years of marriage, sexual intimacy, stewardship and finances, loneliness, forgiveness, communication, dealing with past addictions of abuse, infidelity, addictions, and parenting, and many other topics. So we'd love for you to grab one of those handouts to stop by the table on Main Street. And if you're battling loneliness, if you're, you know, maybe your relational goal, next step is to find community. The key word here is next step. And I want to highlight a few options, and I would encourage you to think deeply about coming and connecting and building relationships here at FAC and making it a priority. So we have our Community Connect right after this service. We're inviting those who live in New Brighton, Mahogany, Auburn Bay, and Mackenzie Lake. Come to the Harvest Rooms and meet people who live in your community. I heard there will be food, okay? So you can sneak on by. But we're checking IDs at the door, so make sure... No, we're not actually checking IDs. But if you're in one of those communities, come by and meet some people who possibly live down the street. We also have the Explore God Supergroup that's starting here May 13th at the church. We're meeting Sunday night for 6 sessions and exploring, you know, some of life's big questions together. So if you're not in a small group, if you're not connected, come. I'll be there. You'll know one person. You know, come and be a part of the Connect, Explore God experience so that you can just meet some other people. And I know it's hard. I know it's awkward. Meeting new people is never easy, but it's so worth it. And I would encourage you to do that. So you can register online for that as well. And I know it's not always easy, but keep coming to church. Keep coming again and again, and just allow yourself to meet people. It will happen. Relationships will happen. just got to give it time. Often we're like, oh, I want my best friend right now. You know, I've been here for 2 weeks. Where's my best friend? It's like, okay, like, you know, that will come. And I pray that it will come. I pray that you'll meet your best friend and you'll click. It has happened. And I trust that with time that you will be able to make some real relationships, some meaningful relationships. After the service, we have Next Step. It's right out on Main Street. You can find the signs. You know, we have a bunch of people that are in there that want to help you get connected, so you can stop by there. If you're online, the FAC online Facebook group, join that, be a part of the conversation. Again, we want to connect, build real relationship. And it's not, you know, just about, you know, combating loneliness. I know a lot of us, we're busy. We have busy lives. And so if we want relationships that are real and healthy, we need balance. We need to take inventory of our lives and remove what's pushing us off balance. I mean, even as a pastor, I'm learning to have balance in my own life with ministry. And it's not just work. It can be hobbies too. It can be, you know, even television, smartphones, activities, video games, sports, materials, possessions, whatever it is. I mean, these can be good things. But when they take control, when they pull away our attention from the people around us, we need to reduce or eliminate them altogether. That's up to you. Do you want real relationships? You need to take that step. And when our relationships are suffering because of the busyness, you know, something has to change. And I want us to be those who take the first step. That we make family a priority here. That we make our relationships a priority here. For some of you, it's not a what you need to do, but a who. You know, what relationships is in greatest need right now? Which one? Which relationship is in greatest need? Let's take that love people commandment from Scripture and do something about it. Let's make a smart goal. We've been doing that for the last, you know, 4 weeks. James has talked about it every week, about making a smart goal. There's paper in the seat backs. However you take notes, write that name that comes to mind, whoever you need to connect with, and pray, you know, ask God what you need to do. Again, which relationship is in greatest need? I know that we can be overwhelmed. There's so many people to think about. But just pick that one. And make a small commitment to do that. Make it manageable. Just let's just progress. Let's have these healthy relationships. I know there's options. I know there's lots of goals. There's so many things that could be floating around in our minds. But I just want to close with this. I just want us to take a moment. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Put a name. Make a goal. Holy Spirit, would you show us what we need to do? So I'm going to read some questions. I just want you to reflect on them, and then we'll be done. God, who do I need to show love to? God, who do I need to show compassion to? God, who do I need to show humility towards? God, who do I need to forgive? Friends, at the very end of all of this, real relationships are about us living and being like Jesus. Who can you be Jesus to? Who can you be Jesus to?